CRTV's afternoon edition presented by Manka Ambi. First, the main points. The hurdles that Cameroonians have experienced lately to procure a national identity card will soon be laid to rest with the launch of the construction of an ultra-modern identification center that will produce this very important document in 48 hours. The second Central African Business Forum opens in Yaoundé, and participants have taken the commitment to stimulate the growth of small and medium-sized enterprises in the sub-region. And in sports, the African Fencing Championship has ended in Morocco, with Cameroonian-born Lorena Isombambega emerging as the new African champion in the game. Now the news bulletin.
CRTV's afternoon bulletin with Gladys Tata. The National Committee in charge of money laundering and terrorist financing has been installed by the Minister Delegate in the Ministry of Finance, Yaouba Abdoulaye, in Yaoundé today. The committee, which will be headed by the Minister of Finance, was created by a presidential decree on October 30, 2023, and is expected to intensify the fight against money laundering, terrorist financing, and the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Present during the ceremony was the Minister Delegate in the Ministry of Justice, Jean Didier Momo, and the Director General of Customs, Edwin Nuvaga. The arsenal of bills tabled in Parliament a week after the opening of the June session tallies up to 9, with the communication of another draft law this morning in plenary. After its endorsement by the Chairman's Conference, the bill to lay down forestry and wildlife regulations has been put at the disposal of the people's representatives for consideration in the days ahead. This was during a plenary sitting chaired by Honorable Théophile Bawuro. The project for the construction of an ultra-modern identification center in Yaoundé has been officially launched today. It will lead to the production and ensure issuance of identity cards in Cameroon within 48 hours, and this by the end of the year. The Delegate General for National Security, Martin Bagangele, laid the foundation stone for the ID center at the construction site located at the new administrative quarter in Bala 2. Construction works are being carried out by a German firm called Ojantik that is also in charge of building annex centers in Douala and Garoua. The Yaoundé-based Teaching Hospital for Applied Research, Endoscopic Surgery and Human Reproduction, CRASER, has registered its 492nd birth. The set of twins from a 23-year-old married woman conceived through in vitro fertilization were safely delivered by cesarean section by at the hospital this morning. This was in the presence of Professor Jean-Marie Cassia and a realm of female medical professionals being trained to ensure continuity. The President-elect of the 79th session of the United Nations General Assembly, His Excellency Philemon Yang, has arrived Cameroon after his brilliant election in the United States of America. Hundreds of Cameroonians turned out in numbers at his lakeside residence to celebrate his election. Amongst were members of government and ordinary people from the Northwest and other regions of the country. A French project dubbed Ivelli that was launched in 2021 is making headline as the lives of over 1,500 persons aged 50 and above suffering from HIV/AIDS are being improved upon. A success recorded at the end of the first phase of the project and the launch of its second phase today in Yaoundé. The initiative, promoted by Institut Buisson-Bertrand, aims to optimize the medical and psychological care of HIV victims, often neglected during this age. The seventh session of the Joint Ministerial Committee in charge of providing assistance to the service provider, monitoring and supervising the project to implement a new computerized system for the integrated management of state personnel and the payroll has taken place. Chaired by the Minister of Public Service and Administrative Reform, Joseph Lee, the gathering also sought to assess progress made since the implementation of the new state personnel and payroll logical management software known as CGPS 1. Out of Cameroon, a huge fire at a military ammunition depot in Chad has killed at least 9 people and injured 46 others. The death toll was in danger of rising as many of those wounded. The explosion from the depot in the Gouj area of the capital N'Djamena lasted about half an hour overnight. And in sports, the country's colors are flying high as Cameroonian-born Lorena Esumbambega grabs a title as African champion in sabre fencing. The 22-year-old, who hails from the Mefo and Afamba division of the Center region, won the gold at the just-ended African Fencing Championship in Casablanca, Morocco, after defeating Nagwa Nufal from Egypt at the final. Meanwhile, delegations are arriving in Douala Littoral region ahead of the 23rd African Athletics Championship, slated for June 21 to 26 at the Japoma Sports Complex. The Jamboree will not only showcase Cameroon's top talents in track and field events, but the continent as well. And that's the bulletin.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
CRTV's afternoon edition.
We set the pace. CRTV's afternoon edition.
Connecting people.
A bill to lay down forestry and wildlife regulations has been communicated during a plenary sitting of the National Assembly by Deputy Speaker Honorable Théophile Barrow. The draft law tabled before Parliament for consideration stipulates that engaging in a gainful forestry and wildlife activity is subject to approval. Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Doris Badetatuekwe has a brief reading of the document.
The bill to lay down forestry and wildlife regulations incorporates the provisions of international legal instruments such as the 1992 Rio Convention, the Paris Agreement on Climate Change of the 22nd of December 2015, the Voluntary Partnership Agreement on Forest Law Enforcement, Governance and Trade of the 16th of December 2021, and the Convergence Plan of the Central African Forest Commission. On the domestic front, the proposed instrument has dropped the provisions relating to fishery, which is treated in a separate law and aligns with the new decentralization context laid down by the General Code of Regional and Local Authorities. Comprising 191 sections divided into 9 chapters, the bill includes several innovations: better organization of participatory forestry and wildlife management, the development of community protected areas, greater protection of the national forestry and wildlife heritage, increased contribution of forestry and wildlife resources to GDP, in particular through the formal prohibition of timber exportation, the promotion of the local timber processing industry, the principle of forest regeneration and reforestation, as well as the restoration of forest landscapes. In essence, the bill under review stipulates that engaging in a gainful forestry and wildlife activity is subjected to approval. It determines the financial resources generated by forestry and wildlife activities. Such resources, the rates of which are generally fixed by the finance law, are allocated using a specific grid to the Treasury, regional and local authorities, local communities, the Forestry and Wildlife Administration, the Tax Administration, and the special fund provided for under this bill.
Parliamentary Affairs correspondent Doris Batetato Ekwe. The Gynecological Endoscopic Surgery and Human Reproductive Teaching Hospital, Krasse, has welcomed its 492nd birth. The twins were safely delivered through a cesarean section performed this morning by Professor Jean-Marie Cassiel, the young mother, aged 23. Ayimbile.
It was a life-saving cesarean section performed by Professor Jean-Marie Cassiane's team of medical professionals, which led to the delivery of the twins.
The baby was in transverse positions, both. None of this baby could have passed through the vaginal route, and we have to be very careful. So we did this session not because we wanted only to do cesarean section. Not, don't let people think that IVF delivery means cesarean section. No.
Medical prowess, at the end of which came a bouncing baby boy of 2.4 kilos and his sister, a sweet little girl weighing 2.7, conceived through in vitro fertilization.
And despite the fact that she's 23 years old, her history is very very pathetic. And she came to us because she needed care. But the only problem was that the husband, the sperm parameters were very, very bad. We tried even the fact that she's young to do the insemination, intrauterine insemination, but it doesn't work.
And with the unending support of the presidential couple.
Thank to the First Lady, thank to the President of the Republic, all the people who were behind us during many years. Having this result, and I'm very happy to see that young people are doing such things.
Professor Jean-Marie Kassia and his team trained to ensure continuity, consolidating the opposition as a pool of excellence for the treatment of couples with infertility issues and bent on attaining their target of 500 in vitro babies for 2025.
Ayimbile in that report. The newly elected president of the 79th session of the United Nations General Assembly has been welcomed with excitement by his fellow Cameroonians. Hundreds of them turned out in their numbers at the lakeside residence of former Prime Minister Philemon Yang last night to witness the arrival of the United Nations functionary Charles Ebune.
Tuesday, June 18, 2024, the day of the Lord, this evening at the lakeside residence of the newly elected president of the 79th session of the United Nations General Assembly. The crowd gathered here is mostly from the northwest region of the country, where the new president hails, but is a semblance of the Cameroonian population. After a few gestural exchanges, then comes the new president of the 79th General Assembly of the United Nations General Assembly. The convoy arrives after about an hour's stay at the Yaoundé Simalén International Airport and is welcomed by a jubilant crowd. Philemon Yang heads straight into his residence, where a crowd of the Circle of Friends of Cameroon Women are already ready to give him a warm welcome. Amongst those present here are cabinet members like the Minister for Territorial Administration, Paul Atanganji, the Minister Delegate to the Minister of External Relations in charge of cooperation with the Commonwealth, Felix Mbayu, and the Minister for Supreme State Audit, Rose Achamba Fomunda, amongst others. Philemon Yang then is given a special treatment through a prayer to thank President Paul Biya and all others who contributed to his brilliant election.
This is a special night for us as people from the Northwest, Cameroonians, and citizens of the world. And we are pleased and we have turned here in our numbers first to thank he through which this important thing passed. That is the head of state of Cameroon, His Excellency President Paul Biya.
Cameroonians present here equally express satisfaction with the election of one of theirs as a signpost of a victory of Cameroon's diplomatic endurance. The evening is punctuated by traditional dances from the northwest region of the country to say a warm welcome on behalf of Cameroon to one of their illustrious sons, Philemon Yang.
Charles Ebune. A project geared towards the production of identity cards in Cameroon within 48 hours has been launched today in Yaoundé. The Delegate General for National Security, Martin Bargangeli, laid the foundation stone for the ultra-modern identification center at its construction site at the new administrative quarter in Balatu.
Cameroon's National Security Chief, Martin Bangangele, says the project is evidence of President Paul Biya's determination to sort out the country's ID card production and issuance system. The figures associated with the plan are impressive. Apart from the Yaoundé ultra-modern ID center, there are two annexes, one in Douala and another in Garoua. The project includes building 68 ultra-modern multifunctional centers across the 10 regions and the country's 58 divisions. It is being carried out by the government's technical partner, a German firm called Ogentic. Officials of the firm say the ID card will have the highest security features in line with international standards, plus a special design that will be the first for Africa and the second in the world. Ogentic is also to produce biometric short-stay permits, refugee cards, disability cards, and ID cards for the personnel of the General Delegation for National Security. The German firm has been producing biometric passports in Cameroon since July 2021.
Winston Lebga reporting there. Participants at the second Central African Business Forum have been taught to reflect on certification and ways to protect enterprises in order to make meaning out of the gathering in Yaoundé. The Minister of Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises, Social Economy and Handicrafts, Ashley Basilikin III, was speaking at the start of the two-day meeting that opened in Yaoundé today. Rigobert Maniga completes that story.
Participants, especially local small-scale businessmen in the Central African sub-region, are seeing the Central African Business Forum as an arena for network with potential investors from Italy, India, Tunisia and the European Union. 48-year-old Gwanola Gideon needs funding and a wider market for his organic liquid fertilizer project.
We have done this application in order to resuscitate our crops. How can we go and say we want to get into import substitution if we do not have what has to grow the crop properly? The raw materials are available, but we don't have the industrial machines needed to boost this capacity. That is the reason why I have been patient over the years.
Organizers of the second edition of the Central African Business Forum are looking at what policies to apply and attract the European Union in the Central African market, a possible sub-regional partnership with Tunisia, and what the sub-region must do to protect small and medium-sized enterprises without tampering with their market originality. The Minister of Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises, Social Economy and Handicraft, Achille Basile King III, has told the participants to reflect on attracting investment in the most valuable sectors in the value chains of the various economies.
Rigobert Mania in that report. And until this press release, the Minister of Public Works, Emmanuel Nganou Njumeisi, accompanied by the Secretary of State to the Minister of Public Works in charge of roads, Armand Jodom, will lay the foundation stone for the project to build a bridge over River Nyong in Malombo via Makak in the Nyong and Kele Division, Center Region, on the 21st of June 2024 at 10 a.m. The project to build a bridge over River Nyong in Malombo is part of the Road Infrastructure Development Program spurred by the President of the Republic, His Excellency Paul Biya. Once completed, this engineering structure will help open up a major agricultural basin, improve the quality of life of the population of the Nyong and Kele Division through traffic flow, the transport of people and goods, and trade between the division and those of Fundi and Sanega Maritime. To date, the contractor's deployment is visible on the ground with the ongoing construction of the living quarters, housing units and offices, the development of storage areas for materials, the completion of the final design, geotechnical and topographical tests, and the right way of cleaning. Signed, Emmanuel Nganou Njumeisi, Minister of Public Works.
Washing our hands regularly will save lives.
You're listening to CRTV's afternoon edition on the national station. The national mechanism to combat money laundering in Cameroon is rife, with the installation of members of the committee in Yaoundé today by the minister delegate to the Minister of Finance, Yauba Abdoulaye. Among those who attended the ceremony was the minister delegate to the Minister of State, Minister of Justice, Jean-Didier Momo. Go ahead.
The Coordination Committee on National Policies Against Money Laundering, Terrorist Financing and Proliferation of Weapons of Mass Destruction was created through a presidential decree of October 30th, 2023, and its members appointed last March following an order from the Minister of Finance. It is to foster cooperation between all government agencies that are in charge of combating money laundering and terrorist financing in Cameroon. They are also tasked with the national implementation of policies and strategies to combat money laundering and terrorist financing. The Minister Delegate to the Minister of Finance, Yauba Abdoulaye, urged the members to close ranks and support the National Agency for Financial Investigation to monitor and evaluate the national mechanisms, as well as prepare and submit reports to the President of the Republic with copies to the ministers in charge of finance, justice, defense, External Relations, the Delegate General for National Security and the Task Force on Money Laundering in Central Africa. The event was attended, among others, by the Minister Delegate to the Minister of State for Justice, Jean Didier Mumu, and the Director General of Customs, Fongot Edwin Nuvaga.
Ngo Henry reporting. The circulation of fake banknotes continues to pose a significant challenge for economies worldwide, including Cameroon. The economy in general and businesses in particular suffer substantial losses when goods and services are paid for in fake banknotes. George Mom tells us more.
When individuals or businesses unknowingly accept counterfeit money, they suffer immediate financial losses. Though the exact value of fake banknotes in circulation is not known, senior economist and expert in private sector development and entrepreneurship, Dr. Tumenta Kennedy, insists that the phenomenon is a growing concern.
In the last months, authorities have seized a substantial number of counterfeit bills, highlighting the scale of the issue and the challenges faced in combating this illegal activity.
Given that it is not part of the official money supply, fake banknotes can lead to inflation, loss of confidence in the currency, and harm both consumers and businesses.
The prevalence of fake banknotes undermines the credibility of the national currency and erodes public trust in the monetary system.
Boya-based economist Chua Richard Afumbom adds that the ill thrives more in situations where high-quality counterfeit bills can deceive even vigilant eyes.
You go to the market, you are buying from a mother, she doesn't have a money detector, and this poor woman ends up going home with counterfeit. It becomes a challenging situation that you suffer throughout the year and you end up selling it for counterfeit.
The experts emphasize that the powers that be must put in place advanced security mechanisms of countering the ill, as it interferes with the government's right as the sole authority issue currency.
George Mwam reporting. In the Far North region, the government has been multiplying measures and actions to get rid of medication sold illegally along the streets and markets in Marwa. Despite these efforts, the proliferation of roadside drugs is still on the rise in the region, although some inhabitants of Marwa have heeded the call of the government in relation to the dangers associated with such medications. Sylvester Timking of our Far North Regional Bureau has been keen on this phenomenon. His report.
At Domayo, like in other neighborhoods of Marwa, an assortment of medicine are spread on the pavement. Despite the doubtful nature and source of these pharmaceutical products, some inhabitants still prefer them for a number of reasons.
Since the pharmacies pay taxes, they are forced to increase the prices of their products on the street. They always sell at cheaper prices.
Despite the temptation of buying cheap drugs, some Marwa denizens are against the practice.
We don't know the authenticity of roadside medicines, how they get them.
The practice, according to medics, is dangerous as any drug genuine or fake in the hands of a known health worker is unsafe. Dr. Fochap Meeting.
People who come to the hospital vomiting blood because they're taking one or two painkillers of very high doses. They're no more hearing. They have kidney problems because they took a particular roadside drug.
Apart from the risks on human health, the illicit sale of pharmaceutical products common in Marwa is also harmful to the profession of pharmacists.
When someone invests a lot in creation of a pharmacy, they are paying a lot of taxes to make sure that they meet recommendations of the Ministry of Public Health. We have a lot of people who are selling cheap and fake drugs, which is what is evident in the town of Marwa. It poses a lot of challenge to pharmacists.
According to medics, every drug is a potential poison and so must be handled by a professional who understands the pharmaceutical implications. Marwa, Sylvester Temkin, CRTV.
Cameroon's public and private sectors have experienced considerable growth since independence, but the country still faces endless challenges such as corruption, bribery, and fraud, causing adverse economic, social, and political consequences. In the following analysis, Belinda Show focuses on identifying the most important forces influencing fraud in the public and private sectors in the economy and says frauds need to be studied for lessons learned and strategies to follow to reduce the incidence of such frauds in the future.
Research papers identify fraud and contraband as not just a practice by fraudsters, but a vice that has become more of an industry where ill-charactered people exhibit their talents in deceiving, siphoning, misappropriating, and carrying out money laundering for self-enrichment. Scholarly articles note that the most common types of fraud are misappropriation of assets and misrepresentation of financial statements, with the former representing 85% of fraud cases. Institutional and environmental factors are the key determinants of fraud. Institutional factors that support fraud and contraband include existing but ineffective operational procedures, operational systems lapses, poor systems of control, inexperienced management, tribalism, and more. Based on psychology, the factors enumerated are known to be uncontrollable, giving the insatiable list by staff and society in general for material gains. In recent years in Cameroon, fraud has been the underlying cause of collapse of many banks and businesses, with most of them going into liquidation in recession. So the endless fight towards achieving a corrupt-free society continues as the government, through specialized organizations, presses hard on its anti-corruption machinery.
Belinda Shaw in that analysis. Data researchers from Cameroon and are discussing ways of simplifying the programming tools to help administrations better embrace artificial intelligence to enhance policies and boost private sector partnerships. This is at a training workshop that opened in Yaoundé earlier this week and will, for the next 4 days, discuss themes related to the importance of data in the informal sector and the need to leverage on data to address societal issues in Africa. Details with Karen Kubo.
The digital revolution that the world is witnessing has brought about innovations in all sectors of activity, and public administrations are faced with the challenge of embracing AIs to guide data-based decisions. One of the trainers, professor of operations and management sciences at the Toulouse Business School in France, Serge Nyawa, says it is urgent for Africa to participate in developing techniques that could better serve their interests.
We want to train our different colleagues from Africa to be willing to work with different AI methods in order to resolve their daily life type of problem and improve their living.
To Pierre Ngimke, associate professor in the Department of Economics of the Georgia State University, embracing AIs will help bridge the credit gap between small businesses and financial institutions.
Many of these micro-entrepreneurs have difficulty accessing credit, and this is because banks do not know the customers. What AI can do is that everybody today has a mobile phone. They can trace their location. All this information can be leveraged by the bank to narrow the gap.
The conference, which is in its first edition, is holding under the theme Data and AI Tools to Boost Entrepreneurship, and runs through June 21 under the supervision of the head of Department of Mathematics of the University of Yaoundé 1, Professor Chancho Bertrand.
Karen Kubon reporting. Cameroonian-born away in sports now. Cameroonian-born Lorena Isumba Mbega is the new African champion in sabre fencing. The 22-year-old from the Mofu and Famba division in the Central Region won gold at the just-ended African Fencing Championship in Casablanca, Morocco, after defeating Nagwa Nofal from Egypt at the final. Ben Conley's new Berwell profiles the new champion.
Lorena Isumba Mbega, at 22, was born in France on December 16, 2002. Her father is from Cameroon and mother from Guadeloupe, a French overseas region, an island group in Southern Caribbean Sea. She developed interest in fencing and began practicing it at the age of 7. At 13, after winning French championship titles in almost all fencing disciplines, Lorena, with encouragement from her club, Thionville, joined Crefet Geminos Training Center in southern France, where she also continued her studies. At 15, while at the center, Lorena was called up to represent France in several World Cups and European Championships till 2021, when she sustained an injury that kept her out from the sport till late last year. In January 2024, she decided to represent Cameroon, her father's country, in the qualifiers for the Olympic Games this year. Lorena narrowly missed picking one of the tickets to the Paris Olympics after she was beaten in the final in Algiers by a Tunisian. The next competition for her was early this month in Casablanca, Morocco, the African Championship. With determination and resilience, Lorena Isumba Mbega overpowered Nagwa Nofal from Egypt to emerge African champion in sabre one among the three modern fencing disciplines.
Ben Collins, Nyebori War. In more sports news, delegations have begun arriving in Douala ahead of the 23rd African Athletics Championship slated for the 21st or between the 21st and 26th of June at the Japuma Sports Complex. This competition promises to showcase the continent's top talent in track and field events. Rene Kache with updates in Douala.
Out of the 49 countries that have confirmed their participation, 10 have already arrived in Douala. They include South Africa, Algeria, Botswana, Comoros, Côte d'Ivoire, Gabon, Mauritius, Namibia, Togo and Zambia. As the competition approaches, this Wednesday and tomorrow Thursday are expected to be the busiest for arrivals, with many of the participating teams making their way to Douala to acclimatize and prepare for their events. A large delegation of foreign communication professionals, including journalists, cameramen, reporters and photographers, is expected on Thursday, June 20, 2024. These professionals will be arriving from approximately 10 countries, and these highlights the international interest the 23rd African Athletics Championship enjoys. The 23rd African Senior Athletics Championship promises to be a vibrant and exciting showcase of Africa's athletic prowess. Fans and spectators can look forward to a week of thrilling competition and memorable performances.
Rene Kacha reporting there, and CLTV's afternoon edition was a presentation of Manka'a. And here now is a summary of the news in the French language with Priska Njeng Mongolo.
Bon après-midi. Assemblée nationale, un nouveau projet de loi sur la table des députés. Il s'agit du projet de texte portant régime des forêts et de la faune. Après avoir été jugé recevable par la conférence des présidents en fin de matinée, ce projet de loi a été communiqué à la représentation nationale au cours d'une séance plénière présidée par le vice-président de la Chambre, Théophile Baoro. Établissement des cartes nationales d'identité en 48 heures au Cameroun, la pose de la première pierre du nouveau centre de production des titres identitaires était ce jour au quartier Toudi à Yaoundé. Le lancement solennel des travaux par le délégué général à la sûreté nationale s'est déroulé en présence de plusieurs membres du gouvernement et autres personnalités de premier rang. Lancement officiel de la 34e édition de la journée de l'enfant africain commémorée en différé ce matin à l'esplanade de la mairie de Yaoundé 7. Le ministre des Affaires sociales Pauline Irène Guéné a rendu hommage aux structures d'encadrement, notamment les écoles inclusives qui œuvrent et facilitent l'accès à l'éducation et à la rééducation des enfants socialement vulnérables. Parlant des enfants, 492 bébés déjà au CRASER ce mercredi. Le record de 500 nouveau-nés est plus que jamais d'actualité. L'équipe médicale espère redoubler d'efforts et de tact pour la concrétisation de ce projet cher au couple présidentiel. Et puis en sport, la 23e édition des championnats d'Afrique d'athlétisme senior dames et monsieur démarre dans 48 heures à Douala. Plusieurs délégations participantes sont déjà dans la capitale économique. La Cameroun Athletic Team poursuit sa préparation. 72 athlètes, 30 dames, 42 messieurs travaillent sous la houlette des entraîneurs nationaux dans la ville de Douala. Madame, monsieur, c'était le condensé des nouvelles en langue française. Merci de l'avoir suivi. Agréable suite des programmes sur le poste national de la CRTV.